Is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Pray with me. Father, may the reading of your word touch our hearts and our lives this morning, and may your spirit teach us in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you history buffs may be familiar with the Desert Fox, the general in the German army during World War II. He actually served in World War I and World War II. This was Rommel. He spent a lot of time in all over Europe in the different battles, and also in Africa, and was known as the best person there was alive that could fight in the desert. He was sent to the western part of France in 1944, because he felt that an attack by the Allied forces, especially the United States and Great Britain, was imminent, and he went there to help the Germans fortify the beach to stop this invasion, because he knew that at this stage of the war, if the Allies got a foothold in France, that the war would be lost for Germany. And he had done a lot to prepare the Germans' defense. And it was the first week of June in 1944. And the weather was really bad that week. His wife's birthday was June the 6th. He decided that he was going to leave the front and spend a few days that weekend with her because he had a present for her. So he left the front on June the 5th. And he was in Berlin with his family when the Allied invasion began the very next day. It was a man who sensed the urgency, the importance of the greatest single invasion in the history of the world. And he had prepared for it. But when he came, he was busy with other things and he missed the opportunity. The British and the American forces gained a foothold. They worked their way up to the Rhine River and into Germany and defeated Germany and the entire Third Reich. I learned also that he died before the war was over by committing suicide. It was agreed he was one of the men who, as a side note, was trying to help assassinate Adolf Hitler. And he was told, if you will commit suicide, we will guarantee you that none of your family members will be punished or persecuted in any way. So he committed suicide. A lot of people have had Rommel's experience. But of all the experiences that you might have, the one that would be the most tragic are those who miss Christmas. They just miss it. I'm not talking about this morning about the men who, I'm talking about men who missed the first Christmas. They missed the very birth of Jesus Christ. And in a sense, I'm talking to Christians today who, for some reason or another, don't really understand or care to in their own heart recognize what Christmas is all about. This is the most important thing in life, and yet it's a tragedy that there's no reason why we should miss it. The first person to miss Christmas was the innkeeper. The Bible doesn't mention him by name. It doesn't even mention that there was an innkeeper, but Scripture makes it obvious. There's no reason to remember him. Before the Gospels were written, he had long been forgotten. But there really was an innkeeper, because the Bible says this, that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So this implies that there was an innkeeper. But you know, the hustle and bustle of that time of the year, it was Passover time. Because of that, he entirely missed the most important birth in history. I can imagine that he was so close to it and yet missed it. Augustus had set it up that the people would come and be registered for a census, and that the family of Jesus would come to Bethlehem to be registered. They probably stood at his door. They may have walked into the entryway. They may have stood at his desk asking for a room. They were almost under his nose. And yet, his preoccupation and his business as an innkeeper kept him from it. If Fox News had been there and there had been a reporter or an interviewer, they would have said, "Well, innkeeper, tell us how that happened." And he would have said, "Do you know what it's like to run an inn, to run a business, a family, to run anything in the world for that matter, even your own life? It's like being lost in a family of a million trees, and each tree is a thing to be done. Is there any fresh linen on the beds? Do the children have coats to go outside? Is there enough money in the bank to pay the bills? We have food in our bellies and we have clothes on our backs. But what can we do to make sure we will still have them tomorrow? A million trees, a million things. I just don't have time to worry about a pregnant woman." The world is filled with innkeepers today. Too materialistic, too caught up to understand the meaning of Christmas because of their business, because of parties, because of Christmas cards, decorating trees and houses, families, hobbies, school, etc. They're all too pressing. If that wasn't the case, then we wouldn't see so many grim people shopping and so many sleepy people in church on the Sunday before Christmas. I'm not speaking to non-Christians so much, but I'm speaking more so to Christians, because we are the ones who should and must and have to take note of the birth of Christ deeply, and yet often we do not do that. The second person that missed Christmas was King Herod. He was the king of Judea. There was nothing likable about him. He was a sly old fox. He had murdered a number of people, including his first wife and three of his sons. He was not religious. He was a cynic. But he knew the traditions of Israel. And he knew of all the leaders of Israel, the Sanhedrin and the priests and the scribes and all those people, because he had to work with them and they had to work with him. But he only half believed what they believed. He should have found Christmas. It's only because he had, if not only because he had a large stake. We're talking about a king here. Matthew tells us of Herod's story in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem was disturbed with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the child was to be born. "In Jerusalem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets have written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report it to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Herod was home in Jerusalem when the news reached him that the wise men had come from the east, and they were trying to find out where the king of the Jews was, the one who had recently been born. Herod didn't have a new child born in his household, so it wasn't one of his sons that they were coming to see. In fact, Herod had no idea who had been born, especially down in Bethlehem. Had no idea. But he knew that the wise men were talking about the Messiah, because the chief priest and the scribes and the Pharisees had been studying the scriptures and trying to figure out exactly when the Messiah would come. They knew it was imminent. All of the Jewish leaders knew it was imminent. And so he called them together to find out where he was. Where is he? They answered quickly and profoundly, "Well, he is in Bethlehem." And so after that, he called the wise men and persuaded them to report back to him if they found the child. He said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." Well, he wasn't intending to worship the new child. He intended to murder the new child. And so this sly old king in his heart had murder in his heart. It's a pity, because Herod knew the significance of this birth, but he missed it because of his greed and his self-interest. I am the king. I don't want anyone else usurping my kingship. I am the head. All of the Israelites bow down before me. I am, it's about me. And so the question is this a description of you? I know you're not a king by any means, but and this is not a question to insult you, but a lot of people miss Christmas. They miss the good life because of a self-focus. Their concern is about themselves, and they want life and people to be focused on them. And so they miss making friendships because they're too caught up in themselves. They miss finding love and finding good times and even happiness. And they miss Jesus at the same time. And so if you are like Herod in even the smallest way, maybe you need to pay a little more attention to what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 8, he said, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?" And so your real self-interest should be in finding the one who loved you and wants to be your Savior, Jesus. He missed that entirely. The last group that missed the first Christmas were the religious leaders, the scribes, the priests. They shouldn't have missed the birth of Christ because they had the scriptures. They'd been studying forever to find out when and where and how the Christ child would be born. The scriptures are filled with it. We know that he was going to be born of a virgin. We know that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Daniel tells us the times. It was imminent. And I'm sure that their They were reading and studying and trying to figure it out exactly, and so they were really excited and happy and proud when the king said, "Hey, scribes, chief priests, give me some information about this birth these wise men have told me about." And so they were very proud that they had an answer for the old king. They had the answer, and it was the right answer, by the way. And of course, the wise men left and went and found and enjoyed and worshiped and honored and gave gifts to the king, to the new king. Now, what was their problem? I wondered, and I've thought about this for years. Why didn't they go with the wise men? Why didn't they lead the wise men? I mean, these people had been looking for the Messiah for generations, for centuries, forever, because the prophets had all prophesied about the Messiah to come, the one who would forgive sins, heal the sick, free the prisoners, cast out spirits. And they even told the king, "Well, this Messiah that the wise men are looking for has been born in Bethlehem." If I were a scribe, I would have jumped out of my pants and run down there to see the new king. But they didn't. I still wonder why they didn't. Maybe it was their pride in their knowledge. You know, we have people that have all the right answers to Scripture. You can ask them a question about anything, and they'll give you an answer. They just love doing that. But the problem is they don't really know Jesus. They don't really have a hunger for Jesus in their heart. And so the joy of Christ is missing. I've studied the Bible. I've taught the Bible, Sunday school classes and Bible studies at work, and other Bible studies for years and years and years. I've studied it. I've taught it. And I still don't know very much. But I would hope that my studying does not overcome my love for the Lord, that it would not become a prideful thing in me. Oh, I know the answer. Just ask me. Anybody got a question about Scripture? Just come to me. I've got the answer. I see these Jewish leaders that very way. We need to know who the author is of the Scriptures, not what the Scriptures are, but who the author is. That's the key. We need to study our Bibles. I'm going to preach on that next Sunday. Why do we need to study our Bibles? Because that's the only way you can find out about Christ. That's the only way you can find out any information about who he was, who he is. And by studying about Christ, then you learn about who God the Father is. There's no other way to find out. If we didn't have the New Testament, we would not know a lot about God the Father. We know it through God the Son, because he lived the life that was the example for us, the very example. You need to know the author. If you do, it'll make a difference in your lives. It'll satisfy you and make you forget yourself and your pride and even your knowledge. It'll teach you to love God as he has loved us by giving us Jesus. Well, you know, there were men that missed the Christmas, the first Christmas. There were millions that didn't find it, but there were some who did find it that Christmas. They weren't the kings of the world. They weren't the religious leaders. They weren't the thousands and thousands of people who were engrossed in their businesses and their materialistic lives. They were just poor folk like us who were looking for God and looking for the Messiah. Several of them. The shepherds, for example, they were not very well thought of in the community. They were nobodies. In fact, their testimony could not be used in a court of law because they were considered unreliable. And yet they saw the angels, and they found Christmas. The wise men saw a star. They weren't even Jewish people, but they found Christmas. Everybody knew that God had promised salvation was of the Jews, and they saw the star. And then there were people like Simeon and Anna, poor people, saintly folk who, like others, the scripture says, were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. No one would have given a second thought to those two people, or to the shepherds, or to the wise men who were not Jewish, who came from the east. They weren't important, and yet they saw and they beheld God's gift, Christ Himself. Why'd they find Christmas? They were honest enough to admit they had a need. The elite of the world, the Herods and the priests and all of these people, the business owners, they would never have gone to a barn where a manger lie. Not then, not today. But that doesn't describe the ones that found Jesus. They knew they needed a Savior, and they were humble enough to receive the Lord when He came. Many of these shepherds or the wise men or even Simeon or Anna, they didn't understand much. But you know what? In their little knowledge that they had, the little that they understood, they received it, because the Bible says that they praised God for the birth of the Lord. So the question is, who could have cared about the birth of a baby while the whole world was watching Rome in all its splendor and all its glamour? There was political intrigue. There was racial tension. There was increased immorality. There was an enormous military might that occupied everyone's attention and conversation. That was the Roman Empire of that day. It kind of reminds me of the United States of today. What could have possibly been more important than the Caesar's next decision in Rome? Who cared about a Jewish baby born on a cold night in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? You know who cared? God cared. Without realizing it, Caesar was laying the groundwork for this child to be born in Bethlehem, as the scriptures had prophesied, to be born in a stable, to be born under a star. The world didn't even notice then. And you know what? The world doesn't even notice today. I hope that you are as amazed as the shepherds were who spread the word about what they had been told about this child. I hope that you are as astonished as the people who heard and believed, the shepherds, astonished about what God had done for them. I hope that you treasure up all these things in your heart as Mary did and ponder over them. I hope that you glorify and praise God as the shepherds did for all the things that you have heard and that you have seen, for what God has done for you, for the very gift of life. So let's celebrate Christmas this year by praising God for this little Jewish baby's birth on that cold night long ago in a little town called Bethlehem, in a stable under a star, giving thanks for this amazing gift, the gift of life. Amen. Randall, let's close.